With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
How can I work? How can I get paid? How can I take care of my kids?
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. Happy Tuesday. Hey, man, you can find us on social media, and we'd like you to do that as well. 929 The Game, that's our radio station. Follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL, and I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Hey, coming up, we're going to talk to our man, Dave O'Brien, about the Braves' moves in about 20 minutes. So stay there because the Braves exercised some options yesterday, decided to move on from a player. And what is the Josh Donaldson thing? How are they going to get to a deal there? We'll talk to Dave O'Brien coming up in about 20 minutes.
We were just talking off the air about, where the Falcons season is going, and we're trying to, trying to find some things to hang our hat on. As we said, the musical chairs or the coaches' reassignments, that might not exactly get anybody that fired up. But one thing is for sure, we are not the only team who is really bad right now in the NFL, Carl. You got the Falcons with one loss, with one win, the Redskins with one win, Giants and Bucks with two wins. In the AFC, Bengals, winless, Jets, Dolphins, one win each, Cleveland Browns, two wins. That's a lot of bad football teams all battling for those spots that everybody's coveting. You know, not everybody in that team's going to need a quarterback, even though they're really bad right now. Just you and I were talking to ourselves and said, self, wouldn't that be something if we could go in there and get a win down in New Orleans? That would make us feel great. It would ruin the day for it Saints would. Fans in the Big Easy. But at the end of the day, it's hard because, yes, you always want to beat the Saints. In everything we do, we want to keep those people down. What do you mean those people? I mean Saints fans. Just keep them down. But I just don't know how to feel about where the season's going because I covet a transformative defensive end that might be there for this team. A million things can happen between now and, obviously, April when the draft goes down.
Yeah, listen, there's still a lot to be determined. You're right about that. And somebody's stock is going to continue to go up or down. And we're a long ways away from breaking all of that down. But I will say this. If you told me right now, Dukes, we're going to lose the rest of the games, but we're going to beat the Saints twice, I'm down. That's where I am. Because at the end of the day, none of those people, what do you mean those people?
People who root for New Orleans.
Yes. Can ever say, well, yeah, you guys didn't have a great season, but we could always respond by saying, yes, but we beat you. And there is no response to that. So even if the Saints go on to win the Super Bowl this year, which is a real possibility, by the way, they could be in Miami, that's how I'm living right now. That's where I'm at. That is my mindset, Mike. Not only do I want to win on Sunday, November 10th, I want to beat them at home on Thanksgiving night. And you know what? I really don't care what else happens the rest of the season at this point.
Well, you know what, Carl? The Falcons' loss is your gain. As a person who maybe wants to check out Mercedes-Benz, I just looked it up on StubHub. Tickets for our next home game against Tampa Bay for the 300 level in Section 324,
yeah,
$23.
It's a good deal.
So if you want to go, I mean, the bad news is, we're struggling, but the good news is if you hadn't seen Mercedes-Benz, it's cheaper than ever.
It's a good deal. Here's the other part of this, and then we're going to talk some college football with you guys here on the program. Also, John Collins suspended for 25 games by the NBA for violating the substance abuse program.
PED, not recreational drug.
Correct, and that's I was about to clarify. It's a big deal because when you say that, people automatically assume it's something naughty, and that's not the case. We'll get more into this coming up next hour, and I'll tell you what I know about it because, again, it's easy to say, well, he put something in his body. Yes, but why? What happened? How does this take place? And who's responsible? All of that's on the way, but as far as the Saints are concerned, Mike, real quick, the rest of these games, the four games as we get back to the second half of the season, all divisional matchups. I actually think, to be honest with you, as bad as Tampa Bay's playing, and now Carolina, and I'm not going to say they're in flux because they played well, but the Cam thing, it's been finalized now. He's been put on IR, so you know they're not going back to Cam Newton anytime soon. I still think this division is kind of wide open. Now, again, the tiebreaker in the division becomes a second overall thing when you talk about overall record. Saints are going to end up with a better overall record, but there's still a chance, and I'm sure Dan Quinn is preaching this. We can go beat this division, and if you start by beating up on the Saints, and let's just say we blow doors, you know how upset I'm going to be on Sunday, if we go out and just play our best game of the season and all of a sudden, you know, we got the Saints down 36-10 or something crazy, it's going to piss me off. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, that's the thing, because we've talked how good the Saints front four is and how they're getting after it. Sometimes the secondary gives up the big play. But that's the thing that's just so frustrating. We've seen moments. You know, we've never put four quarters together, save for, you could argue, the Eagles game, you know, our first home game of the year. But we've also seen the ability of this team to score points. And then that gets back to, but is it garbage time and the other team is checked out? You know, or you really did dial up some things and you found some things at work, but you can't seem to do that for four quarters. Either way, I think we're split amongst the Falcon fans, and we'll do that poll later in the year, because I still have a part of me as a, look, call me the eternal optimist. You know, yes, I'm a season ticket holder. I live and die for this team. I still feel in these divisional games you just brought up, we've seen it happen year after year where the best team going into some of these games don't always win.
It is Dukes and Bell, man. More on this coming up in our Falcon Report. Let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Hey, man, tonight. Well, really, they're doing it now. But tonight, we find out what the College Football Playoff Committee thinks about who the top four teams are. Now, the rest of the rankings will matter, guys, because, again, teams will move up. We know there's some huge matchups, like the LSU-Alabama matchup we've talked about. You know, Georgia still has to play Auburn. They've got to get past Texas A&M to get to Atlanta. So it's not all written, all right? The story hasn't been written yet, but it's in the process. And Mike and I were looking at this. Now, Mike, who sent us this playoff committee list?
Yeah, man. Thanks to, I guess it was a listener named He is called, well, he's a guy. His name is Will. And thanks, actually, Harris Godwin. Thank you. And Will also sent it to us. Squidbilly, we asked. We never got it. But it's the list of all of the people that are on the College Football Playoff Committee. We were talking about it earlier. So we give a producer credit to Harris. Great job, H. So here are the people that are on this year's College Football Playoff Committee, starting with Rob Mullins, the chair. From the University of Oregon. Then there's big Gary Barta. He's the AD at Iowa, Carl. Then there's old Frank Beamer. Frank's still kicking. We had Frank on the show a couple of years ago. Of course, former Virginia Tech coach. Young woman named Paola Boivin, who is apparently a journalist who wrote for the Chicago Tribune.
Oh, interesting.
And then later for the Arizona Republic. She's the only woman that is on this this playoff committee this year. Joe Castiglione from Oklahoma. He's the AD there. Ken Hatfield, remember the Clemson head coach back in the day? Also, you got Ronnie Lott. So there is a player in there. Chris Howard from Robert Morris. A guy from Arkansas State. A guy from Army. A guy from Florida, Scott Strickland. Then there's R.C. Slocum, who you knew from your days in Texas. And Georgia Tech's AD, Todd Stansberry. These are the people that are meeting as we speak to come up with what this College Football Playoff Committee's first poll is going to look like.
Got a lot of inside information here. Ronnie Lott. He's on the hotline. And that's from the Super Bowl. You remember Ronnie came by?
Said anytime you want to get him on the show.
So he's on the hotline. His daughter also does a lot of stuff with him. So we've stayed in contact. R.C. Slocum. This is going to be interesting, Mike. I'm serious. I want to know what guy just basically doesn't care and is willing to spill the beans.
And be the wild card.
Yes, not now, because now, let's be honest, tonight we're going to go, oh, but in 5 weeks when it really matters and they are in that room going, this is the fourth team or this is the third team and there's some controversy, that's when it gets interesting.
I do think, and I'm not saying it's a work, and that's like the slang for like they're putting you on. They're going to get a rise out of you, Carl, like WWE. But they always do something a little screwy in the first couple to get the conversation started, because like anything else, guys, that's why this thing is here, to get you us talking about college football. All right, in the AP Top 25 and in the college poll, LSU and Alabama are each number one, and then Ohio State's three in the AP. Clemson is three in the coaches. And then it gets to interesting, Penn State and then Georgia. So, Carl, you think Clemson's not going to be in the first poll? No Clemson?
Not in the top four. I don't. Now, if they're in the top four, they're just paying homage to the fact that they're the defending national champs. Because I don't think their strength of schedule equals other teams right now, including, you know, Ohio State, Penn State, and obviously LSU. Alabama, right now I would have those four in, and Clemson on the outside looking in along with Georgia. You know, and again, whether you're there five, six, seven, it really doesn't matter, because if you went out, then you're going to be in the top four and some things are going to take care of themselves. So, for example, if Alabama loses Saturday, Mike, they're gone. They're out of there, right? Whoop, they slide back. LSU will still be there representing the SEC, and then you'll have Georgia with an opportunity to move up. Ohio State, they still got to play Michigan, Penn State. It's got some, you know, this is going to play itself out. So I don't think if Clemson is not in the top four, you shouldn't lose your mind. But that's, I don't have them in there tonight.
But I think we both agree, right? We both agree LSU with wins over
gotta
three be. Top 10 opponents has got to be number one.
Got to be. If they're not, again, I would have Ohio State 1, LSU 2, based on the fact that LSU win this week. They go to number one next week.
And the thing is, guys, it's been a moving target. Would you agree with me that over the years, some of these members of this committee have stayed while people have dropped out, new people come on? We just gave you the list of the new guys that are in there. Do you think that the same objectives are there, the same parameters are there? I mean,
yeah.
Because we try to figure out, does style matter? If you're going to beat, do you have to beat the dog crap opponents by five touchdowns? I mean, all those little, you know, those variables that come into the equation.
That, listen, I think when because it's only a couple of years that you get a chance to be on the committee. I think it's 3-year commitment, if I remember correctly. But the standards are laid out. But the thing that doesn't change is the human element. And, you know, whether it was Barry Alvarez or Pat Hayden or it was Oliver Luck who was on the committee or Jeff Long, you know, the former AD at Arkansas. If you're watching these games and you are a team enamors you, Mike, with the way that they play or, you know, LSU scoring 50 a game, you can't discount that. I don't care what the standards are. You go, that's a really good team, and they've impressed me. And so then the human element comes into play. But I do think they've laid out to all of these committee members, here's what's expected. These are the talking points of where we want to start and then where we go. And remember, if you're a part of a university or, you know, you're an AD and your team's involved, you got to recuse yourself. So you're removed from the conversation.
Right. And regionally, all the Power Fives are represented. There is somebody from all the big schools. So see where it goes. It is going to be interesting to see where Georgia goes. You think Georgia hangs right there at number six?
Six or seven.
Oregon's been getting a lot of love of late. They've also got one loss in conference. But still, I think Georgia's right there on the cusp. And maybe, as you said, Penn State, based on what they're doing, they may be at number four and Clemson at number five. But again, it's only the starting point. Years ago, everyone went bananas about TCU and Baylor. What's going to happen? Well, they wound up losing. It didn't matter. But certainly right now, Georgia fans, because of the loss to South Carolina, you know what you got to do. So it doesn't matter what these guys say. You win out, you'll be in.
Let's hear from Kirby Smart talking about their next opponent, which is Mizzou guys and Kelly Bryant, who was at Clemson, now at Missouri. Here's Kirby.
We'll prepare for his style, which he's a really good athlete. They run him. He's got quarterback runs. They make you count extra hats in the box when he's a quarterback run guy. I mean, it's in a lot of ways, it's they can be you're defending two things. That's tough, and the quarterback run element is hard, always hard to prepare for.
So I'm not overlooking Mizzou. You shouldn't be either. What about the outside talk about the dogs, right? Jake Fromm, everybody was talking about this or that with the dogs. Kirby says this.
I try to emphasize to the kids that inconsistency is consistent. So the highs and the lows are going to be consistent as far as everybody's going to say one way or the other. It's always higher or lower than it really is. And as coaches, we always say that. It's never good as it is, never as bad as it seems. Most important thing is that our kids understand what makes you successful is what you do, not what you listen to.
So the coaches, as we said, you know, they kind of got in their bag a little bit. I mean, look, there was tongue-in-cheek or it really was heartfelt telling the media that was assembled there as they were making their way down to the locker room after the win. How about that? You know, everybody's quiet up here, and we joked around about it yesterday. Look, when you're supposed to be one of the top three teams in the country and you don't show it week after week, it's going to be a story.
Yeah.
You know, and so this had nothing to do with whatever Justin Fields is doing with Ohio State. Fromm did the things we've seen him do before. The question, I think, with this OC is why weren't you doing more of this earlier in the year, and why couldn't you have pivoted in a game like South Carolina where there is no margin for error if we get down to the brass tacks of what this playoff could be?
We go on the sidelines each and every day with the dogs. We talk college football and plenty more of it over the week here with the College Football Playoff Committee rankings come out. It's brought to you by our friends at Cool Ray.
Cool Ray, guys, if you're looking for the best warranty in the business, buy your AC system, I should say, from Cool Ray. Cool Ray and Carrier, turn to the experts.
One last thing, man. Sources around college football, I tweeted out, have told me the money was the issue with Bob Stoops. His name was being mentioned at Florida State. I said they need to go make a wild hire, and they don't have the money to do it. Stoops is commanding between $6 and $7 million per season, and apparently that was a little bit over budget.
He's making that kind of coin with the XFL in Dallas?
I think he just is in a place of a position of power.
Right. So now Mark Stoops is the new hot name. So it's a Stoops of equal or lesser value, and he's got a cheaper buyout from Kentucky than some of the other guys that are out there.
Coming up, Dave O'Brien, who covers our Atlanta Braves, joins us next to talk about the offseason here on Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. Falcon Report at 5. Mike and I pondering the idea of what if we win on Sunday. But right now, we want to spend some time with the guy we enjoy reading. He's funny. He knows his stuff. He covers our Atlanta Braves. His name is Dave O'Brien. Guys, follow him on Twitter as well. And, Dave, thanks for jumping on with us this offseason. And I've said this as soon as the season was over, that frustrating, you know, afternoon at SunTrust where we blew it in that first inning, that this is the biggest offseason for the Braves in a very long time because we have a very good core group of players. But how do they build on it? And yesterday that process really started with some of the moves that were made. Were you surprised by not retaining the services of Julio Teheran?
I was a little bit, but I guess I had kind of underestimated the fact that they were able to get a pretty good gauge on what the trade market might be or lack thereof for him. And I think they determined that it wasn't worth risking trying to move a $12 million salary in the spring and then all of a sudden being stuck with it. You know, if they thought they could do that, they would have and had him for insurance. But, you know, for a team with a middle payroll at best, $12 million is a little much for a back end of the rotation guy, which is what he is in this rotation, if he were to even make it. So in that regard, I guess it wasn't I guess they shouldn't have been too surprised if they didn't think they could trade him this winter.
He's the best in the business, man, Dave O'Brien. Catch him, read him in The Athletic, great stuff. And, Dave, I was reading your blog talking about the Braves' moves. Will they actually invest in a guy like Gerrit Cole, which is the one big piece that you outlined everybody else had in the teams that advanced in the postseason and we didn't?
I don't think that they'll invest that high, but I think that they will go into that next tier. In other words, Gerrit Cole, I think, is in a – and now Strasburg, now that he's opted out of his deal with the Nationals, I think they're kind of in a realm all their own. Far ahead of like the Bumgarners and the Zach Wheelers and even the Ryu, who's a Cy Young finalist, even above them. Because with Gerrit Cole at his age, you're talking about a guy who's probably going to get the largest pitching contract ever. And I just don't see the Braves going from not being willing to sign, you know, 3- and 4-year free agent pitchers to signing the most expensive free agent pitcher in the history of baseball. So I don't anticipate them at all being involved in, you know, because he's going to get $35 million a year probably for 8 years, you know, at least.
Wow.
And I just don't – this goes against what they don't believe in building a roster with long-term contracts that at the end of it are not going to be good. And even the team that signs him probably knows there's a real good chance that the last 2 or 3 years of that deal he won't be worth what he's getting paid.
Right.
So I do see them going after a guy like a Bumgarner or a Wheeler. Those guys will cost draft picks, though, as because they were made qualifying offers yesterday. But Ryu was not made a qualifying offer, so he wouldn't come with that. And Cole Hamels wouldn't come with that. So there are guys out there. And then you know what else is an option is that we don't know who's going to be available in trade. But if a Corey Kluber, and I could see Cleveland trading a guy like Kluber this winter if they decide, you know what? We're not going to be a World Series contender next year. Now's the time to move. The Braves need to pull the trigger on a trade like that because we've seen just from last year when they had so many prospects that, you know, they didn't want to deal.
Right.
Even some of those prospects now are not worth as much as they would have been last year because they didn't have great years. And this happens every year. So it's time. You know, a lot of these guys are pushing Rule 5 being have to be protected. So if you could get a guy like Kluber and give up a top prospect to get him, I'd do it.
Do it.
And that way you don't give up draft picks. You don't take on a $30 million salary, but you get a frontline, true ace type guy, and you go for it.
It is Dave O'Brien, guys, joining us, talking Braves. Everybody, is on the Anthony Rendon, tip right now. He's 29, obviously plays third base. But we've got a third baseman, and we just offered him a qualifying offer, started a qualifying offer, at least a starting point.
Yeah.
You keep Donaldson, you don't chase Rendon, right? You go ahead and you make a deal with Josh Donaldson.
Same thing. Rendon goes in that same category as Gerrit Cole. Those are going to be the two guys that get the $300 million contracts this year probably. Because you look at what Arenado got from the Rockies, and that's kind of the starting point with Rendon, especially with the off season he had. So I don't see another team getting him without overpaying because the Nationals are going to pay. The Nationals don't want to lose him, so they're going to be willing to go really high for him. And if another team's going to get him away from it, it's going to be with a longer deal or even higher AAV. So, and the Braves, like you said, they've got Josh Donaldson who, long-term, no, he's not as good as Rendon, obviously not. But he's 33 right now, and for the next couple of years, which is what you want, that's the way they're doing things, he looks really good. Like this year, he kept himself in great shape, never got hurt, played 155 games, and he just gives you an element that his team really lacked, I think, before he got here, and that's that swagger and toughness and that kind of – he just gives them an edge, and I just like what he brings to the clubhouse. And you lost McCann. You lost one of your vocal team leader, kind of cocky guy behind the scenes. People didn't see it with McCann, but he was like that behind right. clubhouse doors, always having fun, laughing, being loud. JD's just like that all the time. You know, people see it, so they know what he brings. But, you know, takes on Musgrove when he thinks he threw at him, that kind of thing. On top of being a really good defensive third baseman, he could have won the Gold Glove this year. He led the league in defensive run save for third baseman. So I think if they can get him for a two or a two-year deal plus an option, I'd go $25 million for him, no doubt, for Donaldson.
It is Dave O'Brien, guys, breaking down a little hot stove action because this is where it all begins, and hopefully the Braves will be proactive and not wait until the All-Star break to do some of this stuff. Dave, what's going to do? How do you handle Austin Riley other than hoping he shows up at Northport and he's got his swing back?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean – for a while there, for a month and a half, he looked like the next superstar. I mean, he looked like a 40 home run guy.
Right.
And then teams exploited the weaknesses, the holes in his swing. And that happens in the major leagues. And that's when the young guy's got to make adjustments. And he wasn't able to do it, you know, in a timely manner. So, you know, they still feel good about him long term, but you can't go into next year counting on him at third base. So that's why you've got to sign Donaldson or you got to trade for another guy because you can't count on Austin Riley. After watching what he did in the second half, you cannot count on him to be your guy and then go up there and strike out once every two or three at-bats, you know, and hit 220 like he did after that huge first month and a half. So they like him long-term, but at the same time, he's not untouchable either. There's really no untouchables. There's no Sorokas and Acunas in this current group of prospects that are just totally untouchable. Maybe Ian Anderson's the closest, that pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
But the two outfielders they've got, Pache and Drew Waters, are both really good prospects, but neither one of them is absolutely untouchable, like Acuna was. So, and the same token, Austin Riley, while they like him long-term, if they would have signed JD to a 2-3-year deal, they'd listen to offers for Austin Riley. They like him in the outfield until they need him at third base.
Okay.
He can play the outfield. He's not bad at all out there. But there's still it's more likely he starts the year in AAA because Duvall is more likely to serve in the platoon with Markakis, you know, this platoon they have planned right now. If they don't go get another outfielder, that's more likely to be your platoon, not Austin Riley. He's probably going to start a year in AAA and really get, you know, hone that swing again and be ready to be a little more consistent when he gets here next time.
Dave, do you think we're going to lose any of the staff as far as other jobs? I know Ron Washington's name was being thrown out there. Does this staff stay the same?
Yeah, I think he was the only one. He's the only one I've seen mentioned or that I know was a candidate. He was a strong candidate in San Diego, but he ended up being number two, losing out. And they would have liked to have him be their bench coach, but he liked him so much here that he wasn't going to leave just for a bench coach job. Kept kind of a lateral movement. Plus, you know, I mean, God forbid something happens to Snitker, but if something did, Washington is a guy that would probably take over. You know, he or Walt Weiss both are fully capable of moving into that managerial job here. And Washington knows how valuable he is here. I think he'd rather be an infield instructor and do what he does than be a bench coach. You know, he loves working with the kids. He's 64, 5 years old, but he loves hitting fungos every day one-on-one with those guys, with all his infielders. So, man, he's unbelievable. This guy's that, you know, smokes like a chimney, but yet he's got more energy in his than anybody half his age on that staff.
Old school, man, old school. Just like you, buddy, totally just like you. School. It's a Dave O'Brien. Dave O'Brien's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline talking some hot stove, and I'll explain to millennials later, Carl, what hot stove means. All right, buddy boy, so Folty got his mojo back. What about Tukey?
Well, let's hope so. He didn't have it that last game.
All right, well, that one aside, what about Tukey? What about Newcomb? These guys have a shot to get back to being starters in this organization?
Nuke will get a chance this spring, depending on what they do this winter. If they go out and get two starters, he's not really going to be needed, but you know, they're real solid with Soroka, Freed, and Folty. I mean, you got to give him kudos. He did make some real big improvement after he came back from AAA, that last game aside. But you know, those last two spots, you need to go out and get a guy like a Bumgarner or whomever, right. Kluber, if they, like we talked about, and then maybe get two guys. But if they don't, then Nuke could get another shot at the rotation spring. I don't anticipate seeing Tukey in there. He was way too inconsistent. I think it's more likely he'd be traded than anything. But, you know, who knows?
Dave, it's good to talk with you as always, man. Great info. We look forward to a big offseason. And check your stuff out, man. Read Dave O'Brien. We appreciate it, Dave. Thanks so much.
You got it. Thanks.
Carl, back in the old days, you'd gather down at the barbershop or the post office. They'd have a hot stove in these old towns.
Yeah.
Everyone kind of gathered and stay warm, you know, shake off the cold. And you talk about what's going on in the town and maybe talk about the baseball. And that's where a hot stove league comes from, because that would be done in the offseason, in the winter.
And we're going to have a lot of it with our Braves, guys. Hey, join 92.9 The Game's Randy McMichael, media member Randy McMichael at the Wing Cafe and Tap House in Marietta. He's going to be out there this Saturday from 5 to 7. I may even stop by, Randy. That's a nice little spot out there. Hey, grab a beer, watch some college football action, register for a chance to win two tickets to the Peach Bowl, courtesy of Dos Equis. And remember, enjoy Dos Equis responsibly.
You know who first coined the phrase hot stove?
Who's that?
John Fricke.
It's time for Yeah Man, No Man.
Kind of makes me wonder why the hell so many people are trying to tell me to slow down. Seems like I should be shutting the hell up and enjoying the show.
He's 6'1".
Not really.
From Florida.
Kennesaw State.
And gives rapid fire questions. It's the executive producer of the Dukes and Bell Show, Bo Morgan.
All right, the latest on John Collins and the suspension on the way. Falcon Report, as we will get you caught up on the latest with Chris Lindstrom in about 15 minutes. But right now, it is time for Yeah Man, No Man. We say hey, man. Try our hey, man, L. What's going on, Bo?
You know, man, just living my best life, Carl.
That's all you can do, man.
I've heard.
What's going on? What you got?
I don't know. My neck hurts, man. I think I slept funny the other night. Got like a pulled muscle.
Don't you have the pillow? The thing, the Ron Trzynski pillow? What's that thing called?
You're talking about the thing you curl up with?
The pillow thing. No, the
body pillow?
No, that was the guy that does the pillow commercial. I should know. I did the commercial.
My pillow?
Yeah, I did the commercials for him. I got one of those. Those things form to your neck.
My pillow.
Whatever the hell that thing was called.
Those things cost like $100? I don't have one of those.
You get two for $100.
You know. All right. Sorry. My producer's salary isn't affording $100 pillows. All right. Anyways. So, remember last night we had the Black Cat
game. Just trying
to
help your spinal cord, man.
Yeah, you know, it pays sometimes to pay for good pillows.
I've got two. Would you like me to give you one of those pillows so you have a restful sleep?
Has it been used?
It's been washed.
Okay,
yeah. Machine washable.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, bring it in tomorrow. I'll put a pillowcase on it and I'll wash it.
That's all you need is a pillowcase.
What's the damn question?
Thank you, Craig. Appreciate that.
Craig, the question was, Mike asked me if I wanted a body pillow.
You started this by saying you had your aching neck. Anyway, what do you got?
All right. So last night we had the Black Cat game, right?
Yes.
Well, I want to take you back to 2016. Kevin Harlan was doing a game. I believe it was a Thursday night game. Mm-hmm. I believe it was a Thursday night game because it was the Rams and 49ers. And they don't, well, I guess they would put that on Monday night too. But normally bad games back then were on Thursday night. Kevin Harlan did this with the streaker.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms, bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
That is a great play-by-play call for that nonsense. I remember, I think we had Kevin on, and he talked about it when that all went down. I totally forgot about it, Bo.
At that point in time, now, for the record, if you don't know, I produce the Falcons Radio. I'm the executive producer of the Falcons Radio Network. So, to me, that was one of the greatest radio calls I'd ever heard of. Not actual play, right?
Yes, not actual sports on the field. Very funny.
Till I heard Kevin Harlan do the Black Cat game. And Kevin Harlan this is one of the greatest things I've ever heard as a radio producer.
A Black Cat has taken the field. A Black Cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the Cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25 to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch run of 15. Now the Cat is stopped. Now he's at the 5. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. and the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field, and the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, and it runs up the tunnel.
That's great gold, stuff. Man. Way to work in the sponsorship and keep the other play-by-play going with what's going on the other end. That's gold,
great
man.
Stuff.
Working in the sponsor right there is one of the – that is the greatest thing to produce. First off, most of the time you're handed these cards, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So when you're doing play-by-play, you're not worried about, oh, we're in the red zone. Let me hit the – for us, it's the Mercedes-Benz drive zone, right? You don't even think about it. So you normally hand these – you're handing this stuff. So either his producer handed it to him or Kevin Harlan is such a bad mother
yes.
that he just went – rolled it right off. Because I know
nice.
that Wes will do that sometimes if we haven't been in the red zone all day and the other team's in it.
Yeah, it's been a tough season.
Yeah. But that was phenomenal. So I ask you guys, which call was better, Yemen No Man Black Cat or Yemen No Man Streaker?
Both were great. I'm not a prisoner of the moment, but I got to go with Black Cat because, again, mm-hmm. the ad-lib there, and Kevin's always been great about that. Even during his early days, mm-hmm. he goes back to calling NBA games, and, you know, he was a longtime Minnesota play-by-play guy before he got his break. I love Kevin Harlan. I think he's one of, if not the best play-by-play guys. But, Mike, this is just more proof. I'm going to go Black Cat.
Yeah, kind of funny. I love the pivot to the sponsor. That made me chuckle. Either one is gold. Kevin, as we said, he's a really good guy. There are some guys in the business that are total turds, and there's guys you want to have a beer with, like, you know, Brad Nessler or Al Michaels, and love Kevin Harlan. Good dude. So, yeah, man, Cat.
So, Mike, you had mentioned earlier that the Chargers owner, Dean Spanos, he responded to some reports that they might move the team to London, and they're actively seeking that because of the bad ticket sales and the PSL sales, which they're going to use for when they play in the new Rams stadium. Well, it just so happens, I pulled the quote, and Craig goes, dude, don't use the quote. I've got the actual audio of what Dean Spanos said.
I'm not f***ing leaving. The show goes on. This is my home. They're going to need a fucking wrecking ball to take me out of here. They're going to need to send in the National Guard of fucking SWAT team because I ain't going nowhere.
Great line. Wolf of Wall Street. That caught me off guard. That's funny because that's who he is.
For the record, because I want to give full credit, Craig did find that, but Craig found it from the Chargers website. They tweeted this after Dean, I swear. So what Dean Spanos actually said was, it's total blanking bull blank, okay? We're not going to London. We're not going anywhere. We're playing in Los Angeles. This is our home. This is where I'm planning to be for a long bleeping time, period. And then the Chargers Twitter social media account in response played that.
The show goes on!
That movie, man.
Is that not a top five
that's
quote
great.
All time from an owner?
Right. No, that's great. That is, he grabbed himself and said right here is what he did.
Yes.
That's exactly what he did. That is classic.
Yeah, the guy was such a creep in real life, but DiCaprio in the movie, you just love it. It makes me laugh every time I watch it. By the way, Chargers PSL sales are falling dramatically short, Carl, of expectations. There's an unconfirmed story. They said they couldn't confirm it. This is from a blog in L.A. that says they thought there were less than 1,000 sold. You've seen it. Pittsburgh Steelers took over their stadium. Raiders fans, who still live in the Los Angeles area, obviously, Carl, they were there for 20 years, they're going to be down there in droves. So you have no home field advantage, and nobody's really interested in watching them in the Rams games. There's even thought they would maybe give you buy Rams tickets. We'll give you Chargers tickets at 2/3 off.
Wow. It's bad, man. Listen, it was a bad idea to move from San Diego. San Diego wouldn't build him a new stadium. Spanos, as we just heard, I'm going nowhere. So he leaves, takes his team, and takes his ball. It was a bad move. Now they're going to end up sharing the Rams stadium. And ultimately, this is why all these rumors are talked about, because economically, guys, if I'm an owner, I don't like what's going on with the San Diego – L.A. Chargers right now.
Look, it is what it is. They could not get the deal. We've got good friends. Scott Kaplan, who's done radio in San Diego for years. They just couldn't get it done down there. But anyway, yeah, to the idea of them going to L.A., that was a blog that started out in England and makes no sense. If anybody would go, it would be the Jaguars. But Shad Khan said they're happy with the arrangement as it is right now.
Interesting. All right, Bo.
I just don't think the league can ever put a team over there. Nope. The logistical things down there. Real quick, it's National Donut Day. What's your go-to donut place?
Ooh, America runs on Dunkin', Carl. I know Krispy Kreme's very popular in the Southeast, but a chocolate covered with sprinkles.
Yeah, you know what? And maybe we can talk about this later because there are so many custom cool donut spots now.
Sublime right here in Atlanta.
Yeah, but there are like OTP, there are so many cool donut spots. I got to give credit to like four or five of them.
What's on your donut? What kind of donut you having?
Well, here's the deal. Now they've got maple, bacon, all kind of different toppings. You wouldn't stuff you wouldn't even imagine with these custom donuts. So I can't give you one because I've actually seeked out, like on a Sunday morning, I got to go try these donuts, and literally driven to places to go get donuts. So I can't give you one, but there's a bunch of them, man.
You can never go wrong with a hot Krispy Kreme with the chocolate glaze.
Right on.
Craig, hit the music.
Now I'm craving donuts. You know, it's like I'm like Ron Burgundy. You put anything in front of me, now it's in the top of my head. Now I'm craving chocolate-covered donuts with sprinkles.
And you want it. Nice song here, Bo. We can't be stopped.
Everybody's Bad Boy for life.
Everybody's moving in unison. Look at this.
All right, man. Coming up, Falcon Report. We're going to give you the latest on John Collins and the situation with our Hawks. Trey's back. It's all on the way. It's Dukes and Bell.
I'm not leaving. The show goes on. This is my home.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.